Has Downton Abbey fever died down yet? Do you remember the episode, the fourth season finale, in fact, that ended with the Crawleys as they helped to rescue the reputation of Prince Edward, then Prince of Wales? The heir's good name was put at risk after the sneaky Mr. Sampson steals a letter that the prince wrote to his mistress, Frieda Dudley Ward. That we learn from Maria Mercedes Lara writing in February 2014 for Pop Sugar. We recognize this, of course, as the theme from Downton Abbey. It's performed by harpist Claire Jones, who came to serve a later Prince of Wales. Fiona Powell is WVIA's resident expert on Welsh matters, and she tells us the tradition began in Wales in ancient times when every nobleman worth his salt had a harpist on his staff. The tradition journeyed to the royal court in London. The earliest known royal harpist was Robert Ap Hugh, serving James I in the 15th century. The tradition carried on until the death of Edward VII, when John Thomas, who had been harpist to both Edward and his mother, Victoria, retired, and the long tradition of having a Welsh harpist at court died a quiet death. Until, in the year 2000, when Prince Charles revived the ancient royal tradition by appointing a harpist to his household, the prince said, "I hope I can help to encourage appreciation of the harp and its importance to Welsh culture and tradition." Catrin Finch was the first royal harpist of the revived tradition. The royal harpist must be Welsh and serves in the royal household for 4 years. Their duties vary widely, but they are expected to be available to entertain royalty and their guests at many formal occasions. From 2007 to 2011, Claire Jones was the royal harpist. Probably her most public role was playing harp at the royal wedding of Prince William of Wales and Catherine Middleton, now the Duchess of Cambridge. Claire visited America on tour to promote her new CD, Royal Harp Strings, during the spring, and she took time out from her busy schedule to speak with WVIA's Fiona Powell by phone.
I was born in Pembrokeshire in a place called Crummich, a little village. And as the official harpist to His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales, I was appointed in 2007. And it was a post I held for 4 years. I played for over 180 engagements for the royal family, including things like one-to-one performances for Her Majesty the Queen. And it culminated in the top performance, really, the icing on the cake as such, which was the royal wedding in April 2011. That was my last performance as the royal harpist. And so I couldn't have asked for a better high to go out on, really. I was asked personally by Prince William and Catherine Middleton to perform. It was in Buckingham Palace. I was on a very big stage where people could sit around and listen to me if they wanted to or move on. And I was in between the main wedding cake and the chocolate cake. So I had plenty of good view and I got to speak to them, of course, on the day, which was really, really nice because I'd met them several times before and all of the family, of course, knew me because I was performing in all the palaces 2 to 3 times a month, you know, so they kind of knew me very well as an employee, really. Prince William came over at the end along with his new wife. They complimented me so much on my playing and on what I was wearing because I was fortunately given a lovely dress by McQueen to wear and some Clogai Welsh jewellery as well, so I was spoiled for choice. And I got to perform some pieces of music, actually, that Kate had specifically chosen for me to play from some of my albums, and it was just nice to tell them all about that and that they got to listen to it, really.
Of course, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge are very keen on Wales. They spent so much time there as a young couple when the Duke was at RAF Valley.
They did, and I think they're very fond of Wales and also they basically have so much fondness and love towards the Welsh people, I feel. And they always are very, very easy to talk to, very down-to-earth people. In fact, Kate has always, you know, sort of shown great interest in the harp, and Prince William, of course, as well, because I actually got to perform at a Welsh rugby match, believe it or not, against South Africa, because the Prince William was present in the match. So that just shows you he was supporting Wales at the time, and I got to perform on the pitch in front of him and 75,000 people. So that's just one example of his support and love, really, for our country.
In the past, I have chatted to Catherine Finch, so we know a little bit about what it means to be the official harpist to the Prince of Wales. But can you tell us a little bit about how you're chosen, and does it come out of the blue?
Basically, I got shortlisted to audition at Clarence House for a panel of experts and the Prince's private secretary as well, Dr. Manon Williams. And they decided then that I should unanimously go forward and do a private audition for Prince Charles, where he literally stood about 2 feet away from the column of my harp and, you know, listened to me play. And I had to do a short interview as well. And so it's quite a rigorous process. There's quite a lot of pressure, of course, when you do the audition. But that's what the post is all about. You know, obviously you're representing the royal family. You're working for Prince Charles, our future king in the UK. And, you know, it's a really responsible but a fantastic opportunity for a young Welsh artist to have. It's such a wonderful thing. There's nothing else like it for any other instrument. And it really gave me personally the chance then to really sort of launch internationally, which was always my goal. I always wanted to be a soloist and travel the world. And particularly when the royal wedding came for myself, you know, I did 1,000 TV and radio networks worldwide, which really knocked it out of the park, really, in terms of, you know, what I ever expected to happen to my profile. So it really gave me so many fantastic opportunities, and that's really why I'm able to now tour extensively, and that's kind of part of the reason why I'm here in the US talking to your audience, really.
Of course, Wales is a country that is absolutely chock-a-block full of fantastic artists and singers. We know that. Nevertheless, what a huge thing to happen for a girl from Pembrokeshire.
Absolutely. I'm a girl born and bred in Crummich in Pembrokeshire, southwest Wales, and my parents still live there, of course. I've got such a fantastically close community there. I went to a school called Preseli Comprehensive School. I'm fluent, obviously, in the Welsh language. It's my first language, and I played piano, violin and harp from a very young age. And I was always accompanying choirs, and I was in the orchestra playing the violin and competing in the Eisteddfod, which gave me phenomenal experience to build my confidence in performing. And, you know, when I got to the Royal College of Music and then the Royal Academy of Music in London then, when I was studying during my time of being a student, my upbringing and the culture and the heritage in Wales has been such a fundamental part of really me as a performer, and it's given me such great foundations, and it's just lovely to be able to share things and my success really with those people in Pembrokeshire, but also with the Welsh community all around the world, really, because I sort of feel like I'm flying the flag for the harp, but also I'm flying the flag for the Welsh people, really, because, you know, it really is in my heart. And whilst I've been here for 3 weeks in the US touring in different places like Florida, Richmond, Frederick, Maryland, Washington and New York and different places, it's always the key point that comes up that Welsh is such a big part of my heritage, and Wales itself is such a beautiful place to have grown up in.
When you're travelling around the United States to places like Richmond, do you find the Welsh come out to see you, or do you find there are pockets where you are explaining Wales to people?
A bit of both, really. We've been so fortunate that so many of the Welsh have turned out, actually, the community here in the US, and particularly in Frederick. There's a whole choir not far from Frederick there that offered their support and came along to the concert. And then there's a lot of, obviously, British and Welsh residents in Florida, some who came to the concert. But I do end up explaining quite a bit about the certain part of Wales where I was born, the Preseli Mountains. And in fact, there's a piece, actually, for example, in some of my concerts that I play called Bluestone, bluestone exist in the Preseli Mountains, and they were actually used in Stonehenge as part of forming Stonehenge. And the myth is that they're quite magical and mystical and quite a healing sort of stone as well. That's the sort of myth behind it. And so there's a piece of music called Bluestone that I actually play in my concerts, and Chris Marshall, my husband, composed that piece. So we have video footage of the Preseli Mountains and the bluestone and me walking amongst those stones, and then I'm playing at the same time as well. So it's really interesting to see people react to those beautiful scenes in Pembrokeshire. They've never seen anything like it usually if they're not Welsh, you know. So it's lovely to be able to spread the word a little bit. And Bluestone then, of course, features on the new album that I'm launching here in the US for the very first time. I've released in the UK several times before, and the albums have got to the top of the classical charts, but this is my first US release called Royal Harpstrings, and Bluestone features on that. If you go into my website, clairejones.co.uk, or my Twitter address, clairejones85, or my Facebook address, clairejones.harpist, you'll find then all of these videos. They're posted on there and also on YouTube as well. So have a good look. There's plenty of music videos there of me playing the harp in various settings in Wales. From my point of view, I think it's really important that people can connect with the music as well. Some pieces that people might know from another setting, for example, things like Toss the Feathers, which is a very traditional Irish tune, but it's very upbeat and people recognise that tune as well. Or maybe Song to the Moon from the world of opera, or Ladies in Lavender from the world of film. People will connect with that because they will have heard it, obviously, in other settings. So Chris, my husband, he's not only a percussionist, but he's a composer and arranger as well, and he's also Welsh and from Cardiff, and he has worked very hard on making some very special arrangements of these pieces to make them sound beautiful with harp solo and string orchestral accompaniment, which we've got a mixture of the London Mozart Players and English Chamber Orchestra on this particular album. So I think it's important to have that balance. But then, of course, you know, what mattered to me the most as well is showing where I'm from and to sort of really get, you know, those iconic Welsh tunes to be at the forefront of the album as well. So we've got traditional pieces like All Through the Night, and we've also got the Bluestone that I mentioned earlier, and Heart Strings that Chris has composed as well. And those pieces will hopefully stand out to our Welsh listeners because they have such a story to them, especially All Through the Night. That's a very iconic piece that choirs will sing, as you will already know. And so we really tried to make a special arrangement of that one as well. On this album, there's one piece called Si Hei Luli Mabi, which is Go to Sleep, My Baby. And of course, if you've got grandchildren or daughters or sons that, you know, that just need a little bit of help going to sleep, you know, that kind of piece will absolutely melt their heart and kind of really help them along. And there's a lot of pieces that are quite targeted towards relaxation, things that are very useful for de-stressing at the end of a busy day.
You have played and performed with some incredible people. I see here on the list Valerie Gergiev and James Galway and Bryn Terfel.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've been very fortunate along the way, you know, over the last sort of 10 years. You know, I've been fortunate to perform with Sir James Galway. I did the Mozart Flute and Harp Concerto with him several times in Hong Kong, in Switzerland, in Gergiev. I actually performed with Maestro Gergiev, the conductor, in Windsor Castle when I was the harpist of the Prince of Wales. So that was a very pressured gig. I had to do a solo with him and his principal cellist and the prima ballerina of the Mariinsky Theatre Ballet. So it was in front of a huge crowd in Windsor Castle, the Prince of Wales and the Duchess of Cornwall, and it was extremely pressured, but it was a lovely evening, one of those nights you just always remember. I don't think I'll ever get that chance again, you know. Just been a lovely ride along the way. It's been very fortunate that I got to have chances to work with these people and develop relationships with them, really, and a really fantastic time.
But I bet I can guess who your favourite person to collaborate with. Would that be Chris Marshall?
Yeah, indeed. Well, I'm a little bit biased, aren't I? My husband Chris, he is a percussionist. He's from Cardiff. We met in the Royal Academy of Music in London. We have been together now about 7 years. We've been married for almost 4 years, and we live now in London. And he is also a composer and an arranger. And so I'm very fortunate because we've collaborated not only professionally in all sorts of different ways. We have the composer and harpist relationship where he writes my music for me. The first album we ever did was called Girl with a Golden Harp, and it was released by one of the biggest classical stations in the UK, Classic FM. And it got to number 3 in the classical charts. And so he did all the arrangements, and he composed a piece called Heartstrings as well, which was one of the major pieces he wrote first for harp, which is original. And it was given to me from him as a gift to mark our engagement, because straight away after the royal wedding, we actually toured Brazil and went to Rio de Janeiro and climbed to the top of the Christ statue, which overlooks Rio de Janeiro, as you probably know, and he proposed to me there. So that was when, you know, really it became apparent he had a gift for writing, and so I've encouraged him along the way to really share that. And now he's flourishing. He's doing his first ever film, which is by a TV company and film company in Pittsburgh called Capitoli Studios, and they're releasing a film called The Thunderers about a team from Aberystwyth, rugby team, which basically are the underdogs, and they end up, you know, doing very, very well. And so he's composing that first film this year, which is exciting. So I'm sure we'll keep all your audience up to date about that, because obviously being close to home there with you. Then he's obviously arranged all the pieces on Royal Harpstrings, the new album. So it's been a really interesting relationship to develop from composer and harpist, but also he's a percussionist, so we also have a duet together. So we'd be doing many performances here in the US together with all of his percussion instruments lined up from all over the world. It's a sight for sore eyes. You can imagine our house is completely filled with instruments. We're culminating, you know, the end of the tour will be in Washington, D.C., where we finished with a duet concert there.
Claire Jones, harpist to the royal household from 2007 to 2011, featured at the royal wedding of Prince William of Wales and Catherine Middleton, now the Duchess of Cambridge, talking with WVIA's Fiona Powell while on tour in the States to launch her new CD titled Royal Harp Strings on Silver Classics. This is the piece she just spoke about, Heart Strings, and it's by Chris Marshall, to whom she is married. Claire Jones, Royal Harp Strings. For more information on the web and to see the videos Claire Jones spoke about, clairejones.co.uk, and Claire is C-L-A-I-R-E, C-L-A-I-R-E, clairejones.co.uk. And thanks to you, Fiona Powell.